This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. It's the Mike Francesa Podcast on the BetRivers Network.
Hello again, everybody. The Mike Francesa Podcast on the BetRivers Network is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. We'll have a couple of thoughts on the Derby in a couple of minutes, but first, big series begins this afternoon at the Garden. The Rangers have home ice, but Carolina's favored. As a matter of fact, I just went and looked at the current odds. Carolina's favored in this series against the Rangers. They're favored to win the whole thing. It's Carolina, Edmonton, Colorado, Florida, then the Rangers. Joe Micheletti knows the Rangers as well as anybody. He follows them all year. Joe, you surprised Carolina's favorite over the Rangers, or do you think that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I'm not surprised, Mike. And you know, so much of what sports is these days is all about analytics. And so I think part of that, or a big part of it, is probably when people look at the analytics, it favors Carolina in a lot of different areas. And yet, the Rangers have had this attitude all season that it doesn't matter if we get behind, we find ways to come back. And there's a great deal of confidence on their side. And then when you look at the two teams, of course, the Rangers ended up number one, Mike, with number one in the league. But Carolina was only 3 points behind them. Carolina finished third overall in the National Hockey League. So, Carolina's success over the last 5-6 seasons of winning at least two rounds in the playoffs have given a lot of people reason to think that this is your year, especially since they got their goaltender back, which he's been better after being out with an injury. He missed about 50 games. And the fact that Carolina made some changes to their roster at the trade deadline, which is something they generally have not done in years past, where they've always hesitated to give up assets at the trade deadline for rental players. But they've done it this year, and the team is much better. And so when you combine all those things, and especially the analytics more than anything, it doesn't surprise me that Carolina goes in as the odds-on favorite.
You know, you look at it, Joe, they are both very good on special teams. They're both very talented, deep lineups. They can skate. We know they can skate. There's both deep rosters, good goalies, the whole thing. Do you see anything that separates these two teams?
I do. I think what this is going to come down to is the goaltending. And when I compare these two, even though you look at Freddie Anderson, and as I mentioned, he missed 50 games because of a blood clot issue that he had. But when you know, and he was good in the first round against the Islanders. He wasn't great. He played really well down the stretch of the regular season when he got healthy, and that gave them a lot of confidence. But he's been injury prone, and his playoff history has some flaws in it. And when I compare Shesterkin to Freddie Anderson and the way Shesterkin played the second half of the season and when needed against Washington, which wasn't all that often, but when needed, he was tremendous. And he admits that he feels that he can play better. And so he comes in with a tremendous attitude and level of confidence. And I think when all is said and done, you're right, Mike, when you compare – the deepness of the rosters, the special teams, which is something that Carolina, especially on the power play, Carolina, their last five playoff losses, and I'm going back the last 5 years when they've been eliminated, they've always been outgunned on the power play. This year, their power play is better. And it's been, you know, in the regular season, both teams were top three in both penalty killing and power play. So that's certainly going to help Carolina. But I just think, in answer to your question, and it's a long answer, and I apologize, but when you compare all those things, let's say most of those things even out in a seven-game series, the difference to me is that the Rangers have an edge in goaltending.
Joe, when we look at this series, would you say the winner of the series should be favored to win the Cup? Do you think these are the two best teams in the league?
I don't think I can go that far, Mike. I think this year I think Florida's coming out on the other end. You know, Boston, of course, you know, wins game seven.
Right.
And they leave today. You know, that was a hard fought series.
And they needed to win that game badly.
Oh, they did. Yeah. They did, especially after going back, you know, last year when they led Florida 3-1 in the first round and lost the series in game seven.
No team in any sport had ever done that, had ever lost 3-1 up 2 years in a row.
Oh, I know. So they had tremendous pressure, especially Jim Montgomery, the coach, who I think is a fabulous coach. But to have that on his resume, I'm not sure he would have survived that.
Right.
They lost last night against Toronto. I don't think he would have survived that, despite the two excellent regular season records he's had in his first 2 years as coach there. But that was a grinding series. And Toronto surprised me a little bit that they were able to play that type of game, because they never have in years past in the playoffs, where they just grind and grind and wear a team down. So Boston's going to be a little bit fatigued, I think, starting that series tomorrow in Florida. Florida all season long, Mike, was a team that most people thought had a really good chance of winning the Stanley Cup. And I think most of the year they were favored because they're deep and they can play a grinding game and they've got a lot of positive things happening. So to say the winner of Rangers Carolina is the odds on favorite, I wouldn't necessarily go that far. And then when you look in the West, you know, there's a couple of really good teams in the West that easily could win the Cup also.
If the Rangers have an Achilles tendon, if they have a weakness, what is it?
5-on-5. They have to play. So if you just take this back, not only last year, but the previous year. For, you know, when you think of that series last year against the Devils in the first round, when the Rangers go in there and win the first two games on the road, and you do that, I mean, the chances of you losing a series like that are incredibly low. But they did. And if you analyze that series last year, their 5-on-5 play and their inability and unwillingness to get to the inside, to get to the front of the net, to go to the tough areas you have to go to score goals in the playoffs, was really evident last season. And if you go back to the previous season against Tampa Bay when they lost in the conference finals, that was the problem that they had also, was getting to the inside with their top players and to get enough players to do that. This is going to be a series, again, they have to do that. Now, against Washington, they were able to do that, and they were able to get contributions. They had 10 different players that scored goals against Washington. They're going to need that kind of depth and production from everybody in order to win this series. And, you know, this will be much more difficult. The similarities that the Rangers are facing against Carolina versus Washington was that Washington played a man-on-man defense as well. Not all teams, and most teams, don't play that type of system in the National Hockey League. Carolina has played that system under their coach, Rod Brind'Amour, for years, and they are the best at doing that. So the way you have to beat them man-on-man in the offensive zone, if it's me going against you, Mike, I got to outbeat you and you're going to try and outbeat me, right? That's the way it is. These are one-on-one confrontations, and Will has an awful lot to do with that. And so if the Rangers can play that way, then they will disrupt that man-on-man. Then they're going to get higher scoring chances. And that's where I think the goaltending is going to make a difference in this series.
Talking with Joe Micheletti, Rangers begin this afternoon against Carolina, the highly anticipated series. Obviously, both teams have major aspirations this year to go a long way in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Joe, two things. One, I always think in the playoffs, it comes down to your big play guys. Your big stars have to show up at certain times, just like Boston talked about last night, and their guy came through. For Carolina, if you're the Rangers, who's the guy that you're most worried about?
Well, here's Mike, and just going back a few minutes to what we talked about, and when I mentioned that Carolina made changes at the trade deadline to improve their team, and you go back to their previous seasons of why did they lose out? You know, why didn't they ever get, you know, to the Stanley Cup final having such a good team? Most of the reason for that was that they could never get the big goal.
Right.
They didn't have somebody that could score the big goal for them. And if you go back to last year, you know, one of their guys that they counted on was he's a young player. He's only 24, Andrei Svechnikov. He injured his knee last March and missed the playoffs. And when they ended up losing out, they just couldn't score. They couldn't score. You know, they did so many things right. So a couple of things happened. Their power play, as I mentioned, has improved, you know, tremendously, actually, from the last number of years. But the player they got, and I think is going to be the player that – and they're – listen, it's a really good lineup, you know. So you have – you know, they have enough players that can hurt you. But the player that they acquired from Pittsburgh at the trade deadline, Jake Guentzel, is a proven playoff performer. He won a Stanley Cup, you know, with Pittsburgh. He and Sidney Crosby played on the same line for years. And sometimes Guentzel was overlooked a little bit because, you know, it's that old moniker of, well, he's playing with Crosby. Anybody can do that, which is really not true. And so Jake Guentzel has been a point-per-game playoff performer in his career. He's not big, but he's got as much heart, he's got as much guts as anybody that plays in this league. And this is a guy that, you know, he had 5 points in the series against the Islanders, and he admitted that he didn't shoot the puck as much as he normally does and should. And this, for me, will be the player that the Rangers are going to have to keep an eye on more than anybody else on that team, because when it comes time to scoring a big goal, he's generally the player that's done it throughout his career.
You know, Joe, if I've seen a change in playoff sports in the last 20 years, it's that it's much easier to win on the road than it used to be. I used to be a guy who thought home ice, home court was sacred, especially later in the series. It's not true anymore. You look at the numbers. These teams can play well on the road. They win in the other guys' buildings. How important is home ice in a place as loud and as raucous as the Garden?
You know, Mike, I think that to a man, you know, everybody on the Rangers would say, if we have to win a game, we'd rather play at home in front of the Ranger fans and at Madison Square Garden. And I agree with that. But as you mentioned, teams don't win, especially in hockey, teams don't win championships unless they win on the road. And the Rangers are a team that have proven, you know, they've got one of the best road records in the game. And so they're really comfortable playing on the road. I mean, you see that. I always think that the first round series has the most pressure, because you get a team like, say, the Rangers or Carolina or any of these teams that gain home ice advantage, and they play all season long to have the best record in the league or one of the best records in the league, and they get home ice advantage, and they lose one game at home, and suddenly everything gets flipped. Now, they're the team that has to win on the road in order to get through that first round. You know, it happened with Colorado. They had to do the same thing. It happened with Dallas. You know, game 7 between Dallas and Vegas, which would be spectacular tonight. And so I just think that teams, when they get on the road, there's less pressure. And even look at Boston last night, and they did something a little bit different, Mike. Their team, instead of going back home for game seven and sleeping in their own beds, going home, Boston changed what their philosophy was, and they had everybody stay at a hotel instead of staying at home so that they could just be together and not be around anybody else and have one kind of focus. And that's what happens when you're on the road. It's the team. They eat together. They do everything together. It's just them. There's no family. There's no friends. There's no outside influences. And I think that's a big reason why teams feel more comfortable, or at least feel a certain comfort level of going on the road and feeling that, you know, with all the outside distractions gone, that their focus can just be playing the game.
What has Lavalette brought to this team this year?
I think detail more than anything. If there was a certain complaint, and you hear the whispers, of course, after a season where you don't win, against Gerard Gallant, was that Gerard was not as detailed as Peter Laviolette. So Gerard, who's a excellent coach and has a terrific record, you know, his philosophy has always been, as a coach, trust your players. So the way he coached was, here's the way we're going to play. Now you guys figure it out in the locker room. You know, I'll leave the locker room to you guys. You guys handle the rest. What Peter's done is Peter's come in and he's been more detailed with every aspect of the game itself. And he has had more control over the locker room and the players and the attitude and that type of thing, instead of leaving it to the players. And I think the players were looking for that, especially after last year when they looked confused in the last five games of their playoff round against New Jersey. And Peter Laviolette, his history has always been to be a real player's coach. And that wasn't necessarily like that early on. But he made a change to try and get more together and have more of a family type atmosphere and have the players all kind of try to act as one. And so Peter's been more detailed with just about every aspect of what these players do when they get to the rink, when they practice, everything very much more detailed, and it's worked out, obviously.
You know, you mentioned the goalie and how important he is and the edge that he gives the Rangers, and we know how well he can play when he's on his game. Who on this team, and they have plenty of firepower, but who on this Ranger team do you look at and say, he's got to come up big in this series?
I think Panarin has to be the guy. And I say that because he has said that. He said 2 years ago, after when they lost out to Tampa Bay, and you remember that, Mike, the Rangers had home ice against Tampa Bay, the defending champs. Tampa Bay comes to New York. Rangers win the first two games. Now they're up 2-0 in the series. And then Tampa showed the Rangers how you win in the playoffs.
Yep.
And they win the next four to advance. Right. So
that was a really great group, though. That's a tough group.
Right. And so that was a great learning experience for the Rangers, who, you know, had some young players on that team that are still there now. But it was a great learning experience. But I remember after that series, Artemi Panarin said, I didn't play well enough. And he didn't get to the areas to score goals. Last year was even worse. And I saw him last year when the season ended. I saw him a couple of days later, just before he was going back to Russia for a couple of months. And he was distraught. He was extremely disappointed in the way he played. He had two assists last year in that series. And those two assists came in the first game. The next six games, he didn't have a point. And so he was extremely disappointed in himself. And he's come back, and he was a different player. He's been a great player for a long time. But this particular season, he did things on the ice that I had never seen. And I don't think he's ever done to the level he's done it. And what I mean by that is getting to the middle of the ice, to the tougher areas that you have to go to score goals, especially in the playoffs, shooting the puck more often, being a more decisive player. And he had a fantastic season, to the point where all year, you know, people were saying he should get some MVP votes, you know, after finishing with 120 points in the season. So I think he's certainly going to be a focus, because he was so good during the regular season, and they'll focus on him. But I would say that's the one player. Yeah, you know, even though, you know, it doesn't come down to that, Mike, but you know, when you ask the question, I would say he's the one player that I think everyone will be focused on.
And you know, it's funny, you wonder why people hate New York. All these teams, whether it was the Sixers, whether it's now in this series with Carolina, they hate the idea of New Yorkers coming down there and buying up all the seats. I mean, this has become such an issue every year. And we know how many people are up here. We know how much money's up here. And people will jet down and buy all the seats. We know that. And to go to the level they do to keep fans out of the building is hysterical. It really is.
It's so crazy, you know. And Sam and I have talked about this on our broadcast over the years, and Sam mentions it often, and he should, because you know, we go on the road, and I don't care where it is.
Yep.
You know, whether it's California or Florida,
there's fans
there.
Doesn't
matter.
Yep.
There are Ranger fans there,
yep.
And they make noise.
Yep.
And so as we're doing the game, and then you know Sam will mention, you know, the Ranger fans travel well. And they do. And so you're right. I mean, what they're doing in Carolina now to try and prevent Ranger fans from getting there. And that has been one of the places that over the years, both regular season and playoffs, that when we go there, there is a tremendous Ranger following in Raleigh.
Yeah, people used to live here.
Right. Exactly.
There's New Yorkers living everywhere up and down the East Coast. So wherever you go, there's New Yorkers.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting when they get to games 3 and 4 in Raleigh, what kind of presence there is for Ranger fans.
But you know what? We have felt that in our city, because the Dallas Cowboys have done that to the Giants how many times when they get their fans, when they're good, into the building and they take over the stadium and no one likes it. So you can understand the fans getting annoyed by that and the teams getting annoyed by that.
No, and the owner.
Yeah, especially
the owner.
Raleigh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, he is. That drives him absolutely crazy. And so you're right. They'll do whatever they can to try and keep the fans out. I'm not sure how you do it, but they're trying for sure.
Now, one thing I noticed, and Joe, I don't make secret that I don't watch a lot of hockey in a regular season, and I love watching the playoffs. I love the Stanley Cup playoffs. I watched the whole game last night. I love the drama. There's nothing better than a good Stanley Cup game. The intensity is dramatic, and I've said this many times to people. The most intensity I've ever felt in my life at a game, and I've been fortunate enough to be at every championship in every sport, was Rangers-Devils Game 7 at Madison Square Garden in 94. Game 7, that was the most intense building I've ever been in my life. So, I mean, you can feel it in these series, how dramatic it is. The thing I noticed in the first round is Carolina is really fast. Will this series be up and down, or will it be a little like the Rangers? To me, didn't play wide open against Washington. They knew Washington couldn't score. They dumped the puck. I mean, they knew they were going to win. You could tell that. They knew Washington didn't have any offense. Ovechkin was done. You know, they were shadowing him and with Kreider. I mean, so you knew they weren't going to score. In this series, are we going to see a lot of speed, a lot of end-to-end stuff?
Yes. Yes, this will be a different series than what the Rangers would both teams face, because you know, with the Islanders are not a fast team either, but the Islanders did a good job in that series. That could have gone a little bit longer than five games because the Islanders
blew some big leads. Yeah.
Yeah, they blew some leads, but they also got in the way of Carolina, because Carolina, this is what you're going to see from Carolina, is fast, speed, pressure, all over the ice. And when they get the puck in the offensive zone, Carolina, more than any other team in the league, has their defensemen be so aggressive up the boards in the offensive zone to keep the play in.
Really?
Keep it in the offensive zone.
Okay.
The Rangers, one of the big keys in this series, Mike, to look for, is the ability of the Rangers to be able to make a pass, make a play coming out of their zone under pressure. If they can do that, they're going to create some open ice and have some chances off the rush. But it's so difficult to do against Carolina because they have it down. They played this way under Rod Brind'Amour now for six seasons. They have a group of defense that can skate, and they react well, and they read well. And so, to me, that's going to be a huge key to this series. Can the Rangers defensemen and their forwards make a pass, make a good first pass, and beat one of those aggressive forecheckers or two of them to get it out of their zone? If they can make those plays, then the Rangers are going to create a lot of scoring chances going up the ice and off the rush. But this is what Carolina has done to teams now for years, as they trap them. They keep them in their end. They throw every puck at the net. Carolina will get a lot of shots because they believe that it doesn't matter where you are, throw the puck at the net and create havoc around the net. So the Rangers defense are going to have to make plays. If they can make plays, then that's going to make their job much, much easier.
Joe, which team is better suited to handle adversity? You know, the thing that they're not expecting in the series, they get down early, they get an injury, they get a bad call, they get a bad bounce, whatever it is. Which team in your mind is better suited, or maybe neither is, to handle some adversity in the series?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mike. I would say this. You know, I was looking, you know, just thinking of the Rangers roster. You've got Chris Kreider, who's 33. You've got Mika Zibanejad, in his 30s. You've got, Panarin's 31. You know, they've got some older players that have some frustrations of not winning.
Right.
Right. So I think what Peter Laviolette has done when he's come in, and his staff, is that he's helped build a confidence with this group that no matter what, they can come back and win. And that's the way they played. I believe if the Rangers weren't number one or two, they were certainly one of the top three teams in the league as far as coming back and winning games when they trailed this season.
So they're good. You feel comfortable they can come from behind.
Yeah, they do have an attitude of, let's just keep going. Let's not panic. Let's just keep playing the way we've played all season. Stay with the system. Stay with it. Try and draw some penalties. You know, that type of attitude has been with them all season. So I don't think they're going to panic if they fall behind.
The guys I play golf with who are hockey guys and guys who are in the business, I won't say who they are, they thought Carolina's going to win the series. How about you? Is it a dead even series, or does anybody have an edge, or who do you think is going to win the series?
I think it's going to seven. I think it's going to be a seven game series. And I think the difference will be Shesterkin. I think Shesterkin, his ability to come up with a big save. And again, I'm to this point in his career, I'm not set on Freddie Anderson. In fact, I happen to think in this series that Carolina will end up using both goaltenders.
Really?
That's the way I think it's going to go. Whether Freddie Anderson falters or gets hurt, I think that Carolina will end up using both goaltenders. And I think that this series, you know, when you go through all the statistical stuff, here's this team has an edge here,
right,
but the Rangers have an edge here. No, but Carolina has an edge. You know, right. So you go through all that.
They both have a lot of talent, right? A lot of depth.
They both have
a lot
so
of everything.
Much talent.
Yeah. Yes.
They do. There's so much talent,
right.
So much depth, you know, and they're so both so determined that I think when it comes down to is who's going to make that last great save. And I'll take Shesterkin over Carolina in goal.
All right, Richter, Lundqvist, and now this goalie, Igor, tell me what's different about them. What you know, Ritka was so good in the big game, okay? We know what Lundqvist brought. How about him? What's this guy's big attribute? Or what do you like about him as a goalie?
I think a couple of things. First of all, you know, he's very athletic. I mean, this kid is an athlete. And so when you combine his athletic ability with the determination that he has, and I mean, this is, you know, this is out of those three players, I would say that even away on an off day, Shesterkin is the less social, at least to outside people, than certainly Henrik and Mike Richter.
Okay.
He's stoic.
Okay.
He's stoic.
He's got a little edge to him.
He's got a big edge to him. And he keeps his social his personality.
I like that. I like goalies who are that way. Like Billy Smith, he was a nasty guy, you know?
Right. I mean, it was I heard an interview with Billy Smith, an old interview with Billy Smith from years ago. That when he drew a major penalty against Edmonton, you know, Billy said, and they asked him about it in the post game. He said, "Well, Gretzky flops down all the time and draws penalties." He said, "Why shouldn't I?" He said, "I did the same thing." He said, "I wasn't hurt, but Gretzky did it. Why shouldn't I?" And so that was, you're right. That was the competitiveness of Billy Smith and do anything to win.
Yep.
And Shesterkin has some of that in him as well. And the other thing is that, you know, when Mike Richter played here, I was not broadcasting, but obviously watched him from a distance, and I wasn't part of the team, the organization at that point. I've been here through all of Henrik's years except one. And I was at just about every practice and saw how he practiced and how he prepared for practice. And he was the same way in practice as he was in the game.
Meticulous,
He hated to get scored on.
Right.
He hated it, Mike. He would take his stick in practice. If somebody scored on him once or twice, he would break his stick over the crossbar. And that's it. And so that also sent a message to the team. Shesterkin has that same attitude. When I watch him in practice over these years since he's been here, he's got the same attitude as Henrik. And remember, they played together for a while. So whether he developed that even a little bit more by playing and watching Henrik, I think certainly what Henrik did in his attitude had an effect on Shesterkin, because Shesterkin is so ultra competitive. And so there's some similarities there. But again, from a social level, Boy, he's got this, he's got this angry look on him when he's away from the, from the rink. But that's, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Just go play, right?
Yep.
And he does.
Sometimes good teams can have great regular seasons, and they just don't have that little it factor that's going to get them through the postseason. Does this Ranger team, in your mind, have that?
So I look at this. I think that you learn over time, because as you well know, Mike, and it happens in all sports, the regular season is one thing. And I know, hockey in particular is a different game in the playoffs. So you either wilt as a player or you take it to the next level. And so do you have players that can take it to the next level? And I go back, I think about this a lot, actually, because I remember the first day of training camp back in September, after the first practice, I went over, I sat down next to Vincent Trocheck at his stall. And we just started talking a little bit about the summer and the this. And I said, what do you think about this year? What do you think about starting? And he said, you know what? He said, I'm embarrassed by what happened last year, and this year is going to be different. This year is going to be different. He said that first day of training camp.
Wow.
And Vincent Trocheck has, if Panarin's their MVP, but Vincent Trocheck plays more minutes than any other forward. He's involved in more things than any other forward. I say that, I mean, he plays the power play. He right. kills penalties. He takes big, you know, one of the best faceoff guys in the league and was superb, over 70% against Washington. He blocks shots. He'll fight if you want him to fight. He sticks his nose in there. He is the ultimate playoff type. He has that playoff type attitude
yep.
that is unlike a lot of players. And he's already coming off a series against Washington where he was front and center and might have been their best player. So when I look at what he's brought, and then I think what Peter Laviolette and his staff has kind of molded, because if you look back to previous series in previous years, Zibanejad has never been very good in the first round, but he led them in scoring in this first round this year.
Yep.
And that's a real plus. That Zibanejad had 7 points, and he was so
noticeable. Because they need him, right? They need him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, he's considered their number one center, even though Trocheck had a better year than him. But he is such a highly talented player. He's got size. He's got speed. He can shoot. He knows how to defend against top players. And so he's got to play at a very high level. And he did that first round. To me, that's a real positive. And Kreider, too. Chris Kreider was more noticeable in that first round because, as I mentioned earlier, Mike, you have got to get to the tough areas. You can't be a perimeter player. And Toronto had some of those, which is one reason they lost. But you can't be a perimeter player in the playoffs and expect to be a factor. If you're on a perimeter, you're useless. And the Rangers, they've done that at times in previous years, but they know now that they can't be that way. And if they continue to get contributions from everyone like they did in the first round, and this will be much different, you know, it'll be much more difficult against Carolina, but that's still the effort that has to be there in order to get the job done.
You know, it's funny if series live up to their billing, but this series has, you know, 7 grueling games written all over it.
You know, it does, Mike. I just think it's going to be fantastic. You've got both these teams that are thinking, okay, how are we going to win?
Right.
And you know, we've got our styles, and both teams are also thinking now we have to be really disciplined, right? We want to hit and we want to be tough and we want to be gritty, but both teams are thinking we can't take penalties because both have 2 of the top penalty power plays
right.
in the league. And so there's so much respect there. And as you move on, every little instance in a game matters. You know, in the regular season, you can turn the puck over. You can have a bad night of goaltending. In the playoffs, every little mistake gets so magnified. And you can feel it in the crowd. Somebody turns the puck over, and you can feel it in the crowd because it can turn into a quality scoring chance. So this has so much, you know, intrigue, this series. I think it's just going to be fantastic for the fans and for hockey. It'll just be awesome.
Well, listen, Joe, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it on a Sunday morning. Enjoy the series.
Okay, Mike. Thanks so much. Great to be with you.
My pleasure. Joe Micheletti, great guy. And obviously you watch him all year with the Rangers with Sam and his thoughts on this. What should be a tremendous series against the Hurricane. Like I said, Rangers have home ice. They had the most points, only 3 more than Carolina. But Carolina's favorite. They're just a nip under a 7-5 favorite to win the series. And this morning, I just looked it up. The favorite to win the Cup, Carolina's 1, Edmonton is 2, Colorado 3, Florida 4, Rangers are 5. A couple of thoughts on the Derby. First off, you know this going in. The Derby is an impossible race because, first of all, these horses will never, ever face a field of 19 or 20 horses again. Number 2, they haven't gone this distance yet. Number 3, they're all out for everything. Like, people aren't running. In a normal race, some people are in the race to get some money, finish 2nd, finish 3rd, get some purse money. that's not the case in the Derby. Everybody is going to try to win it. So if you're a speed horse, you're going. If you're a deep closer, you're going to need a good trip. The bottom line is you're going to have traffic problems. Some horses got the worst of it yesterday. I went with the dead closers because I thought there was so much speed in the race. And the speed showed up. It wasn't as fast on the clock, but there was pressure up top all the way, and it obviously got the fierceness, who I thought had very little chance to win yesterday. I thought everything was stacked against them. As a matter of fact, I can't remember a Derby field with more speed in it. There was like 8 horses that could have gone for the front. Now, Mystic Dan was one of those. But his jock took him back, put him in a stalking position, and then had one of the classic Derby rides ever. He cut the corner. He got a 2-length jump on the field and held on for dear life. It was a classic ride. I mean, a brilliant ride. The second finisher, Sierra Leone, obviously a very talented horse, incredibly well-bred, cost $2.3 million. All right, that horse is a real racehorse in every way. Deep closer, had to go 10 wide, got the worst of it in terms of the overland route, but also veered in the stretch and kept, you know, hitting into the and bothering the Japanese horse. The Japanese horse, in my mind, was the best horse in the race. He got the roughest trip and still was coming and was getting hit the whole stretch. I mean, he was battling back and might have been coming out a smidge, but Sierra Leone was leaning on it and veering into him much more. That horse was the best horse, nose-nose, which you never get in the Derby. That kind of 3-horse finish, classic finish. I thought the Japanese horse was sensational and really had a tough trip. There were some other horses that had brutal rate. I mean, just throw out excuses. Anna Marie, which is another deep closer that I thought would run really well, finished 8th. Got destroyed on the first turn, went all the way back to 19th, made a big move, and got shut off 3 other times and whacked in the stretch, and still had energy, but had no chance. Watch that horse going forward. I think that horse will be very good. There's a couple of horses in this race that have talent, no question about it. And as far as fierceness has showed that he's going to run brilliantly when everything goes his way. He can't handle adversity. He's not built for adversity. He's built for the perfect trip. In the Florida Derby, he got out to an easy lead. He was just rolling along on the front end, and he said, "See ya," and really just bottomed a bad field, let's be honest. In that kind of race, that horse is going to have a tough trip. I knew, because with the post he had to go. He took a hop the first jump out of the gate, but then he got a very clean trip. He was up on a tough pace. He didn't get to relax anywhere. He didn't clear the field. And you knew that doing that, when they turned for home, it's not going to work. And he got swallowed. He had nothing. So I wasn't surprised at the least by that. I knew Sierra Leone would be coming. I just didn't know what kind of trip a deep closer was going to get from the two. Let's be honest. The horse had to go around the field. It had no choice. It had to go 10 wide. It lost a lot of ground to the winner. The winner had a perfect, you know, cut the rail. He cut the corner. I mean, you got the best trip you could ever get. And it was a sensational ride. One of the great Derby rides ever. You know, Burrell had a couple of classic rides. This ride will be remembered. Hey, in the Derby, a lot of times, and I'm not knocking this horse, you never know which one's going to develop into the real great horse we'll see as the year develops. But I don't think that horse is the best horse in the race, but he got the right trip. And that's what that race is about. It's very difficult to navigate a good trip. And when you do, you know, things can break your way. It was an exciting race. It really was. You got action up front, and then you got a, you know, real run to the wire where right to the last jump, you didn't know who was going to win that race. And have three, and nose, very impressive. I was impressed by Sierra Leone. I was incredibly impressed by the Japanese horse. I mean, the horse ran a sensational third. Nose, back, took the worst of it. The other Japanese horse had a lot and lost his whip in the stretch and was coming. I'd watch that horse. They were both legitimate horses. The Japanese horses are becoming very dangerous. They're getting better and better. You know, they run a lot in the Middle East because the money's there, but they're getting better and better, and it's hard to gauge them. You know, the third-place finisher had traveled so much, you wonder what it was going to take out of the horse. Didn't take anything out of him. I mean, that horse ran a great race, a game race. So there's another Derby, chock full of excuses. Horses now go every which way and, you know, collect themselves. Some take a rest. Others start to look at how they're going to get ready for the Belmont. Not too many will go to the Preakness. The winner will. You can tell his connections want to go to the Preakness. You're going to see two Baffert horses there that are going to get heavy, heavy action. You know, Baffert's banned in Kentucky. So both of his horses are going to be forward factors in the Preakness. And I think he's won the Preakness 8 times. So they'll be there. There's a couple of other new horses that'll be going there. And out of the Derby, you'll probably get 3 or 4 that will run. I would think that Sierra Leone would wait for the Belmont. I figure that horse will send back to Saratoga, get ready, get legged up on Oklahoma, and then get ready for the Belmont, which is in Saratoga on the 9th of June. So I could see that happening. That makes more sense. I doubt Chad would go to the Preakness and then to the Belmont. I think he'll just go to the Belmont and wait for his chance there and figure he's got a great chance to win that race, and he does with that horse. There's no question. That horse is a very, very honest horse that has run its race every time. I mean, it's been beat by a nose twice. Otherwise, it's won its races, and it is regally bred. But it just shows you, you know, nobody has more money than those connections. Nobody has better horses than those connections. And they have never won a Derby. It's very hard to do. You have to get there, which is hard. You have to get some racing luck that day and have the right horse. It's a lot. So when you get the roses, be very grateful, because there's a lot of adversity along the way. There sure is. But it was a wild race and a heck of a finish. So congratulations to the winners. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to the Mike Francesa podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.